Ladies, good morning. Yeah. How are we?
Morning. A bit hungover, actually.
Oh, good for you.
So New Zealand Music Awards last night.
Oh, of course.
It was
How was it? So much fun.
It was bloody great, Catherine. It was really one of the best awards I've ever been to. And the big sing-along at the end with the dudes was the best part. It was just, I don't know why I always get such a sort of giggle and goosebumps from the fact that one of our greatest hits has the chorus, yeah, 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 yeah.
Sing to yourself more.
Yeah, forget drink. About the last one, get yourself another.
And no responsible drinking at the Music Awards last night then.
Obviously it influenced you.
Yeah.
It was a drinking game. It was a drinking song.
Yeah.
Jenna Gracewood and Irene Pink are our comedians today. That's very cool.
Yeah, I was at home with a cup of tea, so it's much more rock and roll than what I got up to. Well, we're just talking about the young winner,
Benny.
How amazing she is.
How just wild she is. And she just had such a great night. And the hilarious thing was that, you know, there was a bit of comment about a swear jar because John Toogood, one of the hosts, is a noted sweary person.
Three F-bombs in one sentence.
And so when Benny got up to win, I don't know, award number 53 or 67, she, you know, swore and then went, oh, no, I don't have $100, which is probably true given that she's still 19. And then went something like, holy crimbles. I just thought, yeah, the inventive swearing last night was really beautiful. Yeah,
new swears.
Lots of new swears. Lots of flips and fricks and holy
Christmas
crumbles. Yeah, Christmas.
Oh,
shivers.
Yeah. Good stuff.
That's how I swear anyway.
Yeah, really good
what
stuff.
Else has cracked you up then, apart from real life? What's cracked you up?
I quite like the funniest wildlife photos. There was a competition and people obviously submit funny pictures of animals. And I don't know why they always get me. It's like, and the ones that they had submitted, they're all sort of slightly awful. Like there was one of a rhinoceros, I think it was, peeing on a bird.
Oh, that was my personal favourite. Just in kind of the lighting of it. There was sort of this, almost a rainbow in this arc of wee.
And the bird was just like, oh yeah, this happens all the time. And apparently another one was a farting penguin, although I don't know how you'd know that.
It was just the way its little feathers kind of went up around its eyes. Yeah,
you have to. I mean, we're not probably
when
not
it,
doing
when
justice.
It, when it was doing the business, it raised its eyebrows, but like your grandfather. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then blame someone else, like your grandfather does. Yeah.
Like the other 3,000 penguins.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But the winning picture was a cub going to grab an adult lion's. I like the way they've wrote this, privates. From
two-handed dive at the. Yeah. At the
At the Christmas.
Christmas. At the Christmas.
At the doolillies.
At the
dangling donglies.
The dangling donglies, that's it. That's what we'll say.
So at the holy crimbles.
Yeah. It was very, very cute, is what I thought.
Yeah, anyway. but it was very cute because also it had its little baby tiny claws out.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole point is these weren't just little cute paws, but there were claws out.
It knew what it was doing, right?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It survived, though, because, I mean, I wonder if in the real world the daddy lion would have turned around and just went, ow, bitten his head off.
It's probably lying curled up in pain for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, they're in cricket matches when they get hit in the box and everyone sort of stands around going, ooh.
It looks very painful. Mm. It's very Lion King, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of Lion King, I mean, that's one thing I've always loved about the Lion King is that when Simba did something wrong, what's his dad's name? Holy crimbles, I've forgotten. Just takes him.
Shivers.
Yes. Takes him out into the meadow and says, don't do it again, son. I just think it's such a beautiful, beautiful sort of example of parenting and non-toxic masculinity. But you can't say the same for many other Disney classics, which is a big headline this week as the new Disney Plus streaming service has launched. And, you know, as we know, Disney is a giant behemoth of entertainment taking over every corner of our lives but pretending it's still this lovely, nice castle with fireworks and a fairy. And so because a lot of their content doesn't hold up in these modern woke times, they are putting kind of content warnings on the service, which, you know, some people are like, oh, do you have to? We know that times are different then. It's just whatever. But, I mean, the thing is that...
What's Mickey Mouse done now?
Well, it's not so much
what
Mickey Mouse.
What hasn't he done?
It's what hasn't he done.
With those black ears?
It's more that I thought the other day, oh, let's look into some old Disney and decided to show my nearly four-year-old son Peter Pan, thinking, oh, that'll be fun, you know, the boy who flies around in a green pantsuit. Well, I'd completely forgotten about the fat shaming, the female jealousy, that great racist hit, What Makes the Red Man Red, and sort of the general kind of underlying storyline about Wendy, you know, growing, being a little mother to her little brothers. And there was just so much to unpack in there that sort of halfway through I turned to my mum and went, shall we turn it off?
Like, how did you survive?
Is he actually going to be influenced by this?
How did you survive?
He thought it was a bit weird.
Yeah. I would have thought it would have been a bit weird.
Yeah, I think that the only storyline that really holds up is Hook and the crocodile. Mm.
This could be a whole new sort of generation of call-out culture, really, couldn't it? You could have all these woke four-year-olds sitting around going, this is not okay.
It's not okay.
On their Twitter feeds or whatever their feeds are when they're four.
Their totter feeds.
You see, I'm going to be the Christmas Grinch because I don't really like Disney that much, and I think they should have warnings on those films for, you know, like, just this is a really twee...
saccharine levels
movie, like with an elephant with giant ears and stuff, because that would put me off immediately anyway.
Yeah,
but so we're talking about, it's interesting whether you ruin it for everybody or whether you do actually call out the, like, mostly racism that's in those movies, but
yeah.
Maybe as a parent it's a teaching opportunity to really ruin your children. Here's some popcorn, here's a teaching opportunity, look at those crows.
It was my first experience of the Sunday blues. You know, Monday-itis was watching Disney because it used to come on at a certain time on Sunday afternoon, and I just remember this depression descending because I was going back to school the next day.
Right.
Anyway, lots of happier things. What else has cracked you up, Irene?
Happier things.
The animals. I'm a bit fascinated by this whole thing in America that they have service animals everywhere.
Because
it's a thing in America. Not at all. I think it's about 50 airports have them, but the one that caught my eye was they've got this big pig and he just wanders around one of the airports, and he apparently helps people who are nervous before they get on a flight. But I just wondered, what happened to the, you know, going to the bar and just having too many drinks? Which is what I do a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if a pig would make me feel... Is it just supposed to distract you for 5 minutes and then you get scared?
I just think that the messages are really confusing because, you know, on the one hand you're told not to pat the drunk dogs. On the other hand, here's a pig you can... pet.
Yeah.
Has anyone asked the pig how he feels about this and how stressful it is?
I know, but I've spent a lot of time travelling through American airports, and the service dogs I have seen, it's like, seriously?
Pit bulls and stuff, eh? Oh, like, it's almost like people just
beagles.
Go... Yeah. I mean, well, beagles, you always want to touch the fruit dogs, don't you? Mm. Like the little fruit dogs you're not allowed to.
They're so cute.
They're so clever, those dogs.
But then there was the chap in Russia who wanted to take his cat on the plane. So some people can take their cats on the plane. You can have them in their carrier sitting on your lap if they're under a certain weight. Mm. And I would have thought that all cats would sort of, you know... adhere to that weight, but apparently not. And so there was
Victor.
Victor.
He's a
10 kg cat, which, to be fair, you can only take that on an Air New Zealand flight if you're a Koru Club member, right? It's 7 kgs or under,
that's
otherwise.
Right. I forgot.
So
that.
Victor would not have passed muster in New Zealand, and he didn't in Moscow on the first flight that they took. So this chap, Mikhail, crowdsourced a lookalike but smaller, lighter, skinnier cat.
A stunt cat.
Stunt cat. Showed that cat to the authorities, who said, yes, that cat can't fly. And then took his heavy cat on, then crowed about, then got in trouble.
Yes, and now he's not allowed back on Aeroflot because they weren't happy that he'd... But the thing is, what makes you think that you are above... the airline, I mean, it's good reason why you shouldn't put things that are too heavy on a plane, surely,
I know.
Like, what if everyone took their 10-kilogram cat on? Where would they be then?
Again, does anyone else Victor?
The and then the other animal story of the week that I don't know about you, but I have spent actually not a lot of time wondering about why a lot of urban pigeons lose their toes. Mm. But apparently it's a thing. That pigeons in cities tend to lose their toes. And so some people decided to study it, as they do, and the answer is a high density of hairdressers in urban areas.
What does that do to the pigeon's toe?
They get caught. Hair. There's hair everywhere.
But it's someone,
They get caught on pieces of... Well, you know what a piece of hair can do when you get it under your nail.
And as someone who clears out my own Hoover head and it's all of my disgusting hair and it breaks things, I read that story and I thought, poor pigeons, I totally, you know, don't come in my house. You'll lose all of your feet, your beaks. It's disgusting. Poor old pigeons.
As your exciting life continues, Irene, you have a cup of tea after you've cleaned your
Hoover.
What I was doing last night. Yeah.
And petted your support pig.
I know you've got a whole secret, you know, underworld life that you just cover up by coming on here with the whole I'm at home in my onesie with a cup of tea cleaning my.
Look, I have to buy a whole new Electrolux electric Hoover head because it broke. And I tried to re-glue it the other night and just ended up gluing my hand to the pole thing. And it's like, oh, God.
Now we're doing home repairs. Irene. I know there's a secret life. I know it. Thanks, both of you. Have lovely weekends. Irene Pink and Gemma Gracewood.